must do the consecration. And then the bishops do the consecration in union with the Holy Father. Then there shall be the victory of the Heart of Mary. Because the only answer to the crisis of the world today, as it always has been, is the priest, the bishops, the high priest of the Holy Roman Catholic Church.
You're listening to the Talk of Del Mar, 92.7, 98.5. Jake Smith with you till noon. Dan Bongino coming your way with the Dan Bongino Show. And I want to introduce you to our next guest. His name is Bishop Viper. I first became aware of Bishop Viper when he was Father Joseph Viper. He was my pastor at St. Michael the Archangel Roman Catholic Chapel in Farmingville. And Father Viper, a traditional Roman Catholic priest, was beloved in our parish. As a matter of fact, he is the only priest ever served at St. Michael the Archangel who was awarded a plaque. The plaque was mounted in the back of that church, acknowledging and thanking Father Viper for the incredible work he did, the memorable work he did as our pastor. And now, as Bishop Viper, I'm welcoming him to the broadcast because, Your Excellency, we live in very difficult times, but they are times that were predicted by the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima. And we are living through these very difficult times now, and the most difficult for Catholics right now is the condition of Holy Mother Church.
It's true, we're in a very, very difficult times. It's good to be on your show there, Mr. Smith, by the way, so Bishop Viper. And they were in certainly very difficult times, but there are actually times that didn't begin yesterday. And I think that one of the great mistakes we're dealing with at this precise time is blaming our troubles on Pope Francis. That Pope Francis is the cause of our great crisis, and we need to get back to the good old days of Pope Benedict, and that if we can do that, we can help battle against the crisis of our times. And so there's a kind of a uniting of people together against Pope Francis, personally, when in fact, I would argue that Pope Francis is actually a straw man, that he's the wrong target. He's the wrong target. He's not the cause of the present crisis, and therefore, by removing him, you don't remove the problem of the present crisis. But there's a big move, I think, to try to remove him personally and blame all the troubles of the Church on Pope Francis, when in fact, the troubles of the Church are because of a 500-year apostasy that began with the Protestants 500 years ago and culminated in the great teachings and heresies and errors of Vatican II, 1962 to 65, leading to 1 billion Catholics in the last 50 years, 60 years now, wandering away from God and no longer believing what the Holy Mother Church teaches and has taught for the last 2,000 years. And Pope Francis is kind of a bishop, a priest, a pope floating on that stream that's been flowing for a very long time. And, I think right now there's a kind of an error of going after Pope Francis, but in fact, it's part of the problem. It's a distraction to get people to accept the general revolution of Vatican II. So when you look back over the last 50 years, particularly since 1988, when Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre consecrated four bishops to preserve the Catholic tradition. Hello, sorry, Bishop Viper again.
Hi, this is WTMD.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes. You went ahead and took a break, and you'll be right on.
Okay, thank you.
91 on the beach to 96 inland. Mostly sunny and humid Sunday, breezy in the afternoon, high 93. For WGMD's exclusive AccuWeather, I'm Holly Holdren.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply. apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can buy ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I'm Keller Hopkins. I'm running for county council for the 5th District. I will never vote to raise taxes. I will work to create housing for locals that they can afford and use to build wealth. I will reduce sprawl and protect agriculture. I will promote economic growth for all of Sussex County. My opponent has already voted for higher taxes, and he's promised to raise taxes more.
With record inflation,
the 5th District can't afford 4 more years of my opponent on county council. Paid for by Keller Hopkins for County Council.
The state of Delaware is hiring at all levels with sign-on bonuses for some positions. But that's just the start of the pluses of working for the state. You'll get health benefits, plus paid time off, plus the flexibility to work from home, depending on your job. And the biggest plus of all may be the positive impact you can make in the community. If you want to be a positive force, the answer is Positively Delaware. Apply today at statejobs.delaware.gov.
Listen to the Revival Friday on the Talk of Delaware, 92.7 and 98.5. Saturdays 2 till 4 p.m. Broadcast locally by Diamond State Meats, Rehoboth Beach, and Green on the Rocks, Morris Ferry Terminal.
This is a Rehoboth foodie. Join me from 2 to 4 every Saturday when I talk beach eats here at WGMD 92.7. You can also stream it live at WGMD.com. Either way, it's a feast for the ears.
Handle on the Raw, tonight at 10 on 92.7 WGMD. Broadcasting from the Lewis Meineke Car Care Center Studio, it's Delmarva Live here on 92.7 WGMD. The Talk of Delmarva.
Are you listening to Delmarva? We have Bishop Pfeiffer back with us again. Your Excellency, Satan never sleeps.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah, and that, you know.
Your Excellency.
Yes.
For those of us who are traditional Roman Catholics, we prefer the traditional liturgy mass. Obviously, Pope Francis blamed us for the crisis, the division in the church. I think that's why so many of us feel that he does not represent traditional Catholics.
Well, I would say that Pope Francis speaking about the division is actually just the next stage. He's fulfilling his role. He happens to be the Pope right now, but he's fulfilling the role that Pope Benedict would fill if he was in the same position. Just Pope Benedict would be nicer about it. We're experiencing the Hegelian dialectic. Remember that in 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary told children of Fatima that Russia spread her errors throughout the world. And this is the era of communism, of the materialistic, dialectical, atheistic communism. And it's based on a dialectic, the thesis, antithesis, and a false synthesis, which becomes the next thesis. Then there's an antithesis against that, and then there becomes another synthesis, which becomes another thesis, and you fight one against another to create a false solution. Then that false solution fights against another thing, then you get a false solution, and this is simply a step along the way. So Pope Francis is actually, I think, fulfilling two purposes. One, he's attacking the papacy because he's making the Pope look like a joke. He's making even people of the pagan world say, this man is the most unpapal of popes that there's ever been. And so making a joke of the papacy in order to destroy the papacy, which is Cardinal Ratzinger's long-term goal since Vatican II. He was one of the leaders of Vatican II, Cardinal Ratzinger, and one of the goals of Vatican II is to destroy the papacy. In order to do that, you need to get people to unite against a pope. So you create a pope like Pope Francis, who we universally hated, basically. And then the enemies unite against him. And particularly important enemies are the traditionalists, the so-called traditionalists, the conservatives. That's the important enemies, because those are the ones who want to preserve the Catholic papacy. So you need to get the traditionalists and the conservatives on your side against the Pope. How do you do that? You create a very ostensibly, totally obvious, modernist, anti-Catholic, you know, pope. Then you get the traditionalists, conservatives unite together against him so that they'll say, we need to get rid of this man. He needs to resign. We need to remove him. And we forget about the doctrine that says, prima sedes a nemine judicator, the first he is judged by no one. So I think that if you look at him fighting against the Latin Mass, he's not really fighting against the Latin Mass. He's simply implementing what John Paul II put into his motu proprio of 1984, October the 3rd, Quatuor ad Inganos, when he said, this Latin Mass will be tolerated on condition that you fully accept Vatican II, the new Mass, the new liturgy, and that this Mass cannot be celebrated in parish churches unless the bishop tolerates it, should not be used for any marriages or any celebrations, confirmations, etc. John Paul II said that back in 1984. And in the issuing of the first indult, and they called it an indult, we're allowing the breaking of a law, which means an indult, where the superior allows the breaking of a law. All that's happening is that many years later, Pope Francis is saying, okay, we've done the indult since 1984, so now it's time to adjust it. You see? And that the conditions of the indult have always been the same, which is you must accept the new Mass. Traditionalists go to the Latin Mass because they don't accept the new Mass. You must accept the ecumenism, religious liberty, and traditionalists go to the true Mass because they don't accept religious liberty and ecumenism. And so you must accept these things and we'll give you your Latin Mass. And John Paul II made it very clear in the second indult of 1988, where he made it very, very clear in Ecclesia Dei Adflicta, the purpose of this whole toleration of the Latin Mass. And he says in Ecclesia Dei Adflicta, he says, in the present circumstances, I wish especially to make an appeal both solemn and heartfelt, paternal and fraternal, to all those who until now have been linked in various ways to the movement of Archbishop Lefebvre, that they may fulfill the grave duty of remaining united to the Vicar of Christ and the unity of the Catholic Church, and of ceasing their support in any way for that movement. That's the key. Cease the support of any way of that movement. And therefore, Catholic faithful, who feel attached to some previous liturgical and disciplinary forms of the Latin tradition, I wish to manifest my will to facilitate their ecclesial communion. You see that? The purpose from the beginning is to allow a Latin Mass only to bring people away from the Latin Mass back to the Novus Ordo Missae. To allow people to have their little Latin masses and Latin communities, to get them to leave their ancient doctrine to accept the new doctrine of Vatican II. And John Paul II was exceedingly explicit and clear about that in his letter Ecclesia Dei Adflicta in July 1988. All that Pope Francis is doing is put it into practice in Traditionis Custodes of July 16th, 2021, exactly what John Paul II had envisioned in 88. He didn't do anything new. I think that's a hallmark of Pope Francis' papacy. There isn't anything that he has done or said as Pope that Paul VI didn't already do, John Paul II didn't already do, and Benedict XVI didn't already do. And yet, for some reason, everybody is scandalized because Pope Francis is doing the exact same things they did, only when they did it, people weren't scandalized, now they are. Why is that?
That's a good question. And I had not realized that, Your Excellency.
Yeah.
Now, we live in a community here where Joe Biden is a frequent visitor, and I'm constantly fielding calls from listeners who really do not understand why the local bishop has not prohibited Joe Biden from receiving communion. Now, I have the opinion of two things here. First, when it comes to church bishops' decisions, the decisions of the diocese, tell people, don't worry about it. We should be concerned with ourselves. We should be in the state of grace. God will take care of it. But there's also the clergy here, too, that just doesn't understand why Joe Biden, who technically is excommunicated because of his sins, is not being publicly excommunicated here in within this diocese. What are your thoughts?
Well, actually, I would say with someone like Joe Biden, who's like a king, Joe Biden is the president. Joe Biden is the head of the most powerful country on earth. The bishop who's responsible for excommunicating him is the Bishop of Rome, the head of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. So the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, the successor of St. Peter, his duty is to blast Joe Biden and to excommunicate Joe Biden and to tell Catholics that they should not follow Joe Biden until he straightens up his essential problems. Now, when the Bishop of Rome doesn't do that, it's normal that the local bishops will be afraid to do that. Now, obviously, they're obliged to. It doesn't change their obligation. It's just that it's very understandable that a local bishop doesn't excommunicate him, doesn't refuse him Holy Communion, because the chief priest is supporting him, and the chief priest is not excommunicating him. It doesn't take away the obligation of that local bishop. His obligation is to excommunicate, to refuse Holy Communion to Joe Biden, and also to let the people know that those who support Joe Biden should also be refused Holy Communion, and that it should be excommunicated as well. You know, so because of his completely anti-Catholic position. No, that's all. That is completely anti-Catholic, no, everything.
Publicly, Joe Biden's a good Catholic, so I think people are left to shake their heads saying he's a Catholic type.
Well, no, he doesn't believe what the Catholic Church teaches. He's pro-abortion. He's pro-perversion. He's pro-pretty much. All you have to do is lay a list of the 12 articles of the Creed and every moral commandment of the Ten Commandments, and Joe Biden's against every single one of them, whereas the Catholic Church is in favor of every one of those things. So, therefore, he can't be a good Catholic.
Your Excellency, I have been making inquiries about a future traditional Roman Catholic chapel in this area. This is a very growing Catholic area. A lot of people who are retired are moving here from New York, New Jersey, the Washington, D.C. area. And I'm just wondering if, at some point, you might be interested perhaps in coming to this area and saying mass.
The answer is yes. To put things in perspective, it's part of an overall bigger battle plan. Remember that in 1988, John Paul II said the purpose of Ecclesia Dei Commission is to help people leave the Catholic faith and join the Novus Ordo beliefs and the Novus Ordo practice. And that in this time, they've created lots of fake organizations, as the Fraternity of St. Peter, Institute of Christ the King, a whole bunch of other organizations, which are now being crushed because they fulfilled their purpose. These fake organizations were created to bring people away from tradition, bring them into the vacation that Pinocchio was once told he needed when he had a health problem. And that when they arrived on Pleasure Island, it turned out it didn't work out well for them. And so likewise, when all these people joined the Ecclesia Dei Commission, they were dragged into that false church, into that false trap. And then they're being crushed, and they're also accepting various levels of liberalism. So what's important, yes, I would like to come and send one of my priests, myself, come and visit there to establish little chapels, because the independent chapels that are not under the arm of the bishop, and the Archbishop Lefebvre's vision of having independent chapels, not under the arm of the bishop, who will maintain the firm faith, is the only way to remain faithful. Like he said in his 1974 declaration, we have to implement that now. That means practically, yes, coming, establishing a little bitty chapel, saying mass for the people, and informing them about the battlefield of the faith. And remember that Our Lady said, the world situation is going to get worse and worse and worse until she has her victory. And yet you'll notice in the last 20 years, there's been an increase of Latin masses in many, many parishes. There's been an increase of interest in the Latin mass. Young people, and yet Our Lady said things are worse. You would think if there's an increase, things aren't worse. But in fact, they are worse. And the reason they're worse is because our battle is not just about the Latin mass. It's about the true faith. And the fact is that we're allowed to have this mass on condition we tolerate the evil. It's like a wife being allowed to live back with her husband on condition she accepts all the girlfriends. Well, obviously she can't do that, right? You know, and that's what the whole end-all crisis is. So we need to have a say Mass, talk, inform people about the battlefield of the faith, the victory of Our Lady of Fatima, the real answer, the practical answer. The answer is true faith without compromise. And the practical answer is follow the pattern and practice of Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. He gave the answer to our present crisis. And that means in practice right now, yes, let's establish a chapel in Delaware, right? And pull people together to be having the Latin Tridentine Mass. Because if we have a Latin Tridentine Mass and a Latin Tridentine chapel that's holding the true faith that can't be crushed by the bishop, they have to pay attention to us. You see what I mean?
Understood. Your Excellency, we will continue to communicate about that, and we'll set it up. And you could always, or if you send one of your priests, there's plenty of room here. You could always stay here. But the one thing I've always remembered from one of your sermons at St. Michael's, you were talking about the crisis of the church, and you laid it out pretty quickly, pretty simplistically. It's our church as we want it back. And I never forgot that, Your Excellency. Yeah. And it was well stated then, and it's even more important now. But Your Excellency, I want to thank you so much, Bishop Joseph Pfeiffer, for coming on this morning, and we'll talk again soon, sir.
Okay, thank you, and God bless you then.
Thank you, Your Excellency. You're listening to the Talk of Delmarva, 92.7, 98.5.